Good things come to those who wait, like seeds buried in the ground. God's love bursts forth in the fullness of time to bring new life and new possibilities. Would you please stand as you are able to for the call to worship? Sing God's praise.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Seek the Lord and trust God's strength.
Proclaim God's wonderful works.
Live in the spirit of love and grace.
Give thanks to Christ's
marvelous love. And now our opening prayer. Spirit of God, you intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. When it seems lost, you heal our hearts and give us strength to carry on. Set our hearts and minds on you, Great Spirit, that we may know your abiding presence and your never-failing love. Amen. Our opening hymn is I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord, in the hymnal it's number 540. Will also be on the screens for you.
You may be seated. Brothers, sisters, siblings in Christ, would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for today as we give thanks for all days. And Lord, we give thanks that it finally cooled off. God, be with us as we continue on through the summer. Be with us and teach us your ways. Help us see what you have called us to be, who you have called us to be, what you have called us to build. Lord, may we give praise and honor not only to you, but may we give comfort. May we give comfort and peace to our people. Lord, we ask that you're with those who have lost loved ones. We ask that you comfort their hearts, that you heal their spirits, that you give them hope. And Lord, we ask that you're with all of us here, that you might continue to walk with us and help us be a shining light into this world. God, whatever prayers might be on our hearts, may you hear them. Whether they be too heavy, whether they be too tired, whether it just not be the time to share. Lord, we know that your ear has bent down to earth, that you listen to even the quietest words that we speak, and we know that you are with us. So, Lord, in whatever ways that our prayers may be answered, may we see you in them. Lord, help us know that you are faithful. Help us put our trust in you so that all things may end well. Lord, be with us. Be with us and teach us your ways. Through Christ our Lord. And all the people said, Amen. And so with the confidence of the children of God, I invite you all to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. So if the kids want to come up, I think that'd be awesome.
Good morning, everyone. Here is our beautiful mystery item. Thank you to Cole. We have some nice red scissors. Okay, before I forget, who would like to take the orange bag? You have to bring it back next week. Well, don't everyone raise your hand at once. Okay, adults. There you are. Alrighty, so let's see. I'm gonna need a helper. Okay. Has anyone ever said anything mean to anybody up here? Yes? Let's see if it'll go. Who here has ever said anything mean to another person? Who here has ever thought anything mean about somebody else? I know I have. How much we got left? Not much. Alrighty. So, sometimes our words and our thoughts can hurt people in ways to where it kind of destroys a little bit, right? Do you guys know how we can fix those things? By showing kindness and saying sorry. And then if we're the ones that were hurt, sometimes we can repair ourselves by forgiving, even if that person isn't sorry. Let me show you. Alrighty. Would you like to tear off a piece of tape for me? Thank you. Oh, good. Thank you for getting them back in the right order. I know, the tape's kind of stuck. I was struggling with it this morning. All right, let's get a big piece. Nice job. That should be good. Alrighty. So, thank you, ma'am. So, if we hurt someone and we say sorry, it may not fix it perfectly, but it does start to repair it a little bit. See, it does look different, right? We used to not have white lines around it, but it's back together. All right, can we get another one? Alrighty. So, if we think mean thoughts about someone, we can correct ourselves and tell ourselves, that wasn't nice. Look at that. It's getting there. Alrighty, last one. That's okay, that's okay. It still looks great. Alrighty. And then if someone says something mean to us, and even if they don't apologize, if we don't forgive them, we stay a little bit of broken inside. But if we do forgive them, we can still put it back together. Now it does look different. But it's still back together, right? Alrighty, should we pray? All right. Hey God, thank you for bringing us all back together. And thank you so much for teaching us how to say sorry and how to forgive. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. In this reading, we are commanded to resist sin, to put misdeeds to death. So then, brothers and sisters, we are obligated not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit hearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we in fact suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now have special music from Kylie Swanson.
Thank you, Kylie, for that offering. So friends, this is a time of offering where we remember that God is good, that we have been blessed not only with things to sustain us, but for blessings that we can give to others. So friends, thank you for all of the ways that you continue to be a part of this congregation, that you work alongside one another with both your time and your prayers and your talents and also even your money. Friends, thank you for all the ways that you have been faithful and continue to be faithful. For those who like to drop their offering in a plate as it passes by, we will be passing the plates for you. For those who like to give electronically through EFT, thank you for that. If you want to put your support in by putting the yellow cards in your pews in that way, you're more than welcome to. But in all things, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Almighty God, bless these gifts. Bless these gifts that we have given, that you first gave to us. Lord, may it be that your light and your grace and your love shines through us, that our communities might be as blessed as we are. God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we ask that you help the kingdom become more visible in our midst, in our days. Through Christ our Lord, all the people said, Amen. And so we invite you to lift up your voices once again and sing with us our next hymn, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, which can be found up on the screens or in your blueback hymnals on page 405. You may be seated.
Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then 36 through 43. This is the gospel, according to Matthew. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" And he answered, "An enemy has done this." The servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Come, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Later, when Jesus left the crowds and went into his house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds. Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, "Amen. Amen." What's your favorite weed? What's your favorite weed? Everyone's got to have a favorite weed, don't they? Or if you don't have a favorite weed, what weed do you like to get frustrated with? Dandelion. Lots of them. The ones that grow in your garden, good answer. Any other favorite weeds out there? Milkweed. There you go. There you go. Does anyone like bindweed? The flowers are so pretty, aren't they? But man, it gets everywhere. Is anyone a thistle fan? You know the definition of a weed, right? Any flower or plant that we don't want where it is. Which has fascinated me over the years. That all a weed is any flower or plant which we have said does not belong here. So maybe bindweed belongs in the forest, and maybe thistles belong in the fields, or at least not our fields. But anything in our gardens, anything in our vegetable beds, anything that might choke life out of the plant that we are growing and tending to, those are weeds. Weeds. And what's fascinating to me is that we as humans, we as people, you know, we kind of know what we're talking about when it comes to those types of weeds. But what gets a little bit tricky is when we hear a parable from Jesus about the weeds and the wheat. And we start to ask questions that are a little bit deeper than how many leaves does it have and does it spread seeds that will choke out my tomatoes or my peppers. There's a phrase or a saying that we have in the ministry. Sometimes someone will come up and ask me, "Pastor, can you pray for more rain?" I can certainly pray, but you all know my role, right? I work in sales. I don't work in management. So I'll send one up and we'll see what we get. Amen? Same way here. None of us work in the business of deciding what is a weed and what is wheat. That alone lies with who? The Lord. With God. So I want to be very clear today as we talk about weeds and wheat is that sometimes we hear these things and we hear the first part of that part in Matthew. This is chapter 13, verse 38. Jesus said, "The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them in the devil is the devil." And in 40 it says, "Just as weeds are collected and burned with fire, so too will the Son of Man do this. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin." And we hear that, all causes of sin being gone. Amen? Hallelujah? What a wonderful world. But unfortunately, there's a second part to that, isn't there? And this is where we as Christians oftentimes get into. I think I'm cutting my mic out, so I'm going to switch to the pulpit mic. This is where we as Christians oftentimes get in trouble. Because just as the angels will come and take away all the sins of this world, there's also that part about evildoers. And that's where it gets just a little bit trickier, doesn't it? Because no longer are we dealing with abstract ideas or things, we're dealing with what? People, aren't we? We're dealing with people. If you remember in the letter to the Romans from Paul, this is in chapter 8. You probably hear this one every once in a while. But Paul goes on to say, at the end of all things, kind of at the end of that section of the letter where he's saying, so how are we justified? Is it by faith? Is it by works? What does God do? How does God love us? At the end of all of it, Paul says, but we know this. Who is it to condemn? Whose job is that? Whose authority is that? It's Christ's. And what has Christ done? If you remember that passage in John, what has Christ done? Didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. See, it's a fascinating turn of phrase there that Paul uses, and I'd like to think he was guided by the Holy Spirit, and that perhaps it gives us insight into what we can glean from this parable. Who is it to condemn? Me? You? Any of us? No, it's Christ who has that privilege. And I wonder how often Christ uses it. I think that's the difficulty with a passage like this, is that too often it's easy to point to a sin and say, this is the sin of the week and this is what we're going to rail against. But rather, I wonder if there's something else Christ is trying to teach us here. How many of you have seen those sprinklers out in the fields? You know the ones I'm talking about? The ones where you pass them and your kids are the right age and they go, what is that? The big ones with the wheels that are probably taller than it, two of me stacked on top of each other. The ones that sweep across entire sections of acres. If you've grown up in Iowa or lived here at any length of time, you've probably talked to farmers and you've asked, why do we have those? And then the next question is, well, don't they crush the crops as they start to roll across the ground? Aren't you losing money if you use those? And the answer that stuck with me, the answer that sticks with me to this day that I heard long ago from a farmer was, well, you can try and save every one of those seeds, but your yields will be much better if you use them, even if you lose a few. Parables don't make sense.
is what I'm getting at. That story, that wisdom flies in the face of what Jesus is saying, because Jesus says, tells the story of the servants coming up and asking the master, asking the person who is on the hook for all of the profit and all of the loss to say, hey, you've got weeds in your field. What do you want us to do? Because the weeds are going to do what to the wheat? It's going to take nutrients out. It might kill some of them. It might choke the life out of what possibly could have been. How many of you, when you go out to your gardens and you see weeds in your garden beds, what do? Do you pull them? Why? Probably because you've been like me at some point where you've tried to lay straw down as mulch, but there was seed in that straw. And instead of this nice mulched garden bed, what do you get? Grass. More grass. Parables turn life upside down and make us think through these hard, difficult questions of heaven, of hell, of salvation, of healing, of reunion, of reconciliation. It makes us look at life in a way that causes us to slow down and reflect. So as I wrestle with this passage, I wonder if what Christ is trying to say is not so much there is good and bad. We all know this to be true. And I wonder if Christ is trying not so much to say about what will happen at the end of all things, although I think he makes it fairly clear. I wonder if what Christ is trying to say is this. It's not your job. It's not your job to worry about it. How many of you like to worry? I love to worry. Friends, let me tell you about all the things that could go wrong and all the ways that my children could get into trouble and get hurt and break things or their own bones, right? Amen? Amen. Nevertheless, Christ goes on to say things like, well, the field is the world, and the seeds are the children of the kingdom of God, and the weeds are the children of the evil one, and at the end of the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. See, that's what's fascinating to me. Who are the reapers but the angels? Who are the ones to help God put everything back into order? It's not necessarily us. And so I wonder if what Christ is asking us to focus on is not so much about how to pull weeds out, but maybe focus on growing. Putting our energy into being strong and tall, putting our time and our effort into shining like the sun. Focusing on the ways that we can honor God. In James chapter 2, they wrestle with this thought a little bit, in a different way, from a different perspective. In James chapter 2, James says, well, fine, if it's against faith or works, if that's what we're arguing about, if it's what we do or what we believe or trust, maybe is a better term to use, you show me your works without faith, and I'll show you my works by faith. And perhaps that's the better image of the kingdom of God. Or you show me your faith without works, and perhaps your works, your faith, might be dead. See, I wonder if this is a part of it too. I wonder if this is a part of it too, where by our faith, by our trust in the goodness and grace of God, by our trust that God is faithful and at the end of all things, all will be well and all will be put right again. Perhaps it's by that we might shine like the sun. And I think in doing so, what I've found is that people take notice. People realize that there's a better way to live. People come to understand that we don't have to wallow in the darkness, gnashing our teeth, worrying about what might happen, struggling and striving for something that might be an unrealistic expectation. See, I wonder if that's what Christ is trying to tell the children of God, is that it's our growth, it's our faith, it's our trust, It's the ways that we continue to heal our own community that might be a beacon to the rest of all the people of the world. That God is good, that Christ is risen. And I think in doing so, what we find is that we don't fall into the trap of being judgmental or condemning when it's not our job to do so. I think what Christ calls us to do is to show a beautiful image of what life might be like. A life where people are connected and not forgotten. A life where we walk in peace. A life where people are taken care of, no questions asked. And you might call me crazy. You might call me mad. But I believe through Christ all things are possible. And I think even here now in this day and age, we might see the kingdom of God. So friends, don't worry. Christ has got it. God's in control. Sure, we've been given free will and agency and maybe even a little bit of responsibility too. But trust. Be freed to trust that God is with us. That God is in this world putting things back together. Just like the tape, God is helping heal all things. And through that trust, may you be freed from paralysis. May you be freed from apathy. May you step into the kingdom of God. And may your hearts be filled with love. Because it's already here. We just have to take the first step. May our choices be good. And may our hearts shine like the sun. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, wheat that we are, may we focus on you. Turn our faces towards the light of your Son. May we grow strong by your grace and your love. May we grow tall by your gentleness and your compassion. May our roots grow deep so that we might find your foundation. Lord, may we focus on you and you alone. May you be our guide. May you be the words that we hear as we wonder. May you be the one that keeps us far from judgmentalness and condemnation. May you be the one that helps us be loving and compassionate so that people might know that you are risen, that you are risen indeed. Because, Lord, we know that while you walked this earth, you prayed it. Lord, may they be one. And we know that while you walked this earth, you gave it, the new commandment, to love one another, that by our love for one another, we might know that you live. So, Lord, may we focus on you. May we be kind and gentle to everyone we meet. May we care for those who we don't even know. Lord, may we be your people so that you can take care of the weeds. So that at the end of all things, the end of all things, we might be reunited, we might shine like the sun, and that we might see way more people than we had ever expected. God, we know you're good, and our trust is in you. Amen. Amen. So, friends, we invite you to stand as you're comfortable and join us in our final song, which is "The Spirit Sends Us Forth to Serve." You can find it in your thin black-backed hymnals on page 2241 or up on the screens. So, beloveds, may your hearts be filled. May the light of Christ go with you. May you know that the sun shines and that God is good. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God lift God's face up upon you and shine, smiling like the sun. Go now, focus on Christ. Focus on the ways that the gardener is tending and healing and helping. Focus on the ways that God loves and proclaims the good news. Focus on the ways that you have been freed from all things that might bind, that might take life. Friends, go in love and serve the Lord. Go with God and God will go with you. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, it's Sunday, so go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath, and enjoy your families. Today, our service is ended. Deb?